Now we have the lecture of the fifth lecture, the 6th of January 1924. It's the fifth lecture, the 6th of January 1924. Rudolf Steiner starts. But I will in the first begin, in general, to add something to what I said yesterday. It's not just sufficient to have a general striving towards the spiritual. What's more important is that this striving towards the spiritual should be able to manifest itself in a concrete way in the individual domains of life. To do this, it is necessary that an individual participates in a living way with a whole cosmic beingness, more or less with the whole beingness of the external cosmos. Man today doesn't really experience the cosmos. And because he doesn't experience the cosmos, he doesn't experience the spirituality. Because the Geistigkeit, the spiritual aspect, the spirituality, the Geistigkeit, can only be achieved, acquired, or erringen on the bypath through the cosmos, on the Umweg through the cosmos. It's only when you're able to take the things that you are concerned with in medicine, in medical knowledge, and to hineinzustellen, to place them into the whole cosmic connection, only then do you arrive at the position of being able to look through the veil of nature into the spiritual forces standing behind it. And this is not so easy to do. The esoteric path is either a very difficult path, or it is no path at all. And you can't reach such an esoteric development in a very convenient and comfortable way. Man must be able to über sich hinauskommen, to transcend himself and to go beyond himself and to take the thing with a sacred earnestness. You can't arrive at the real spiritual by allowing yourself to be sucked into all sorts of dreamy, verschwommene inspirations and the like. You can only really achieve it, reach it, out of the connections which yield themselves out of the spiritual world. Already indicated that we can learn very much from the world of plants. Just consider a plant. Man simply looks at it, he looks at the root, he looks at the stem, then the leaves, then the blossom, then the stempel in the middle, the pistil, the Staubgefäße, the pollen sac, which is a stamen, and then the seeds. The seed develops itself in the seed vessel, and one describes what one sees in the plant, just as if you are sitting on an armchair. You describe the roots set in the ground, how they draw in physical forces, chemical forces and substances, how through a capillary or similar action the sap rises up. And one considers it as a misconception if one speaks of a sort of spiral unordening of the leaves, a spiral insertion of the leaves around the stem. In any case, one really doesn't know, they don't know that somehow there's a connection with the cosmos. And then one further will describe the blossoms, thinking at the most of some sort of force when you want to cognize the colors of the blossoms and their substances, or the befruchtung, the fructification. Everything is described as if you're sitting on an armchair and just looking and describing a whole external process. Now, actually, in that sort of approach will get you nowhere. You have to be clear that when you observe a plant, when you observe the way the root is sunk down into the ground, there you're looking upon a really wonderful mystery. And then there's another mystery when you consider the stem with the leaves. There's another mystery occurs above in the blossom. We look upon the root sunk into the ground, and you consider that there you have, as soon as the root begins, then you have the plant leaving the solid earth. The plant existence no longer has any connection with the earth. But this root would never be able to receive anything from the earth ground if the earth ground did not in the first place experience the influence from the cosmic environment. The cosmic environment, and indeed not merely or not only the warmth of the sun and the sunlight, but also that which proceeds from the rest of the planetary system, that also belongs to the earth, that also has an influence upon the earth from the surface of the earth down a certain distance towards the inner of the earth. It is those forces which are stimulated in this way in the substances of the earth which provide the root, give the root with the forces enabling it to exist in a hub, the earth, within the earth. And now we can then look around and see where we can find these very same forces. Now these very same forces which we find playing around the root of the plant, we shall also find them in the human head. But we find them in the human head in a quite different way than they are around the root of the plant in the soil of the earth, the ground of the earth. It is very necessary that one is able to live into the external substantial agencies, that one is able to live into that which has already been mentioned as the earthly, the liquid aspects, the aeriform aspects, the warmth, the fiery aspects. Since when you just talk all the time of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus, in the sense in which is done in chemistry, these things will just remain to you as merely something external. It's true, you learn through physiology that there's nitrogen in the human organism, but you don't experience very much in it. The whole thing is that you have to proceed out of that which can be actually experienced. And that which is possible to be experienced must unite itself deeply with the whole human being. If you want to place yourself in the service of the Weltgestaltung, the world configuration, and this is what you have to do if you want to be a healer. Now there's something which belongs to the ancient elements which every person can know, in which every person can experience. And this, for example, is the warmth element. Warmth as a quality of nature. One can experience it. You yourself become warm, you yourself become cold. You don't stand outside it as you do when you don't stand outside warmth. I mean, you in the way you stand outside when you consider oxygen and nitrogen. The very characteristic of the old way of looking at nature was that one actually stood within what one experienced. You didn't stand outside it. Now let's remain with this element of warmth, of fire, because that is something which is almost just to hand. You know the fact that as a human being, you experience warmth. Now, the earthly relates itself to the root of the plant just the same as warmth relates itself to the human head. Now, if you now think away out of your consciousness the solid appearing the earth, if you have here the earth, and Steiner points there, here you have the earth itself, the liquid, the aeriform which is in it, and now imagine that the warmth remains so that you have a ground of warmth. You can just indeed imagine that. And then you take the whole of it, and then you turn it around. Here you have below, there you have above, and you turn it about, that there you have below and there above. You have a real polaric contrast. There you have the warmth become free to the earthly, and that the root of the plant is in the warmth. Now, it's difficult to describe what Rudolf Steiner is indicating unless you see his diagram. Even then it's not so easy to keep, but it's very simple really. As a matter of fact, he's making it very complicated. The fact there is a polarity. I think he expressed the polarity early on when we saw the relationship, when he said that the warmth relates itself to the head the same as the earthly relate itself to the root of the plant. And then he summarizes it quite simply when he says, my dear friends, all this signifies that you can say to yourself, I observe the root of the plant. It exists in the earthly ground. I observe the human head. It exists in the warmth ground. Only the warmth, only the ground has been reversed. It's upside down. And that is because that which occurs here above is four stages behind, pushed behind than this. If you can consider what occurs with the root of the plant as an earth experience, then you must connect that which occurs with the head and actually out of the warmth as a Saturn event. And between there you have the sun and moon event. And if now you think away from the human head, all that which is of an earthly, liquid and aeriform nature, and just think only of the warmth forces working in the human head. Warmth forces which are responsible for the warmth differentiation in the rest of the organism. You're only thinking now, I'm thinking of the warmth organism present in the head, then you have in the human head a miniature Saturn. At the present time, you have in the human head the ancient Saturn organization. Now, when you understand the relationship, you can say to yourself, once upon a time, through a long, long time back in the cosmos, there was a Bildung, a formation which has vorausgenommen, which has anticipated that which exists today as the warmth nature in the human head. And the root of the plant creates today within the earthly a picture of that which preceded it. There you have a relationship. You look, you see, you perceive the ancient Saturn in the warmth organization of the human head. But such a gazing, such a shaun, if it occurs correctly, if is really a united, wirklich verbunden werden, actually a connected sort of thing, not merely with theoretical ideas, but it must be really connected with inner moral impulses. You must be able to look, perceive, look at the human head in such a way that you can say to yourself, isn't it marvelous that you can look and observe the human head, and there it stands as a living, verkörpert, incorporated memory of the ancient development time of the cosmos, of the Saturn time. Just permeate yourself with the feeling, I am a human being on the one hand who has reached a certain age, and my child stage stands in front of me. Memories of my childhood arise up. As a person who has become old, I immerse myself in the memories of my child stage. That produces a certain inner experience in front of which one can stand with a moral force. And now expand this feeling, expand this Empfindung until the point where you can say to yourself, I, as a human being, was present in the ancient Saturn age. If I'm able to understand my head at the present time in a correct way, so that is like a living memory on the original Werderzeit stage of evolution of the cosmos. I might say, it appears to me immensely multiplied what can form for me through the memories of childhood, when one, through these child memories, through the living human head, arrives right back into this ancient Saturn period. All such knowledge has only a value if it can directly sink itself into the moralische Gemüt, the moral Gemüt. When you can experience through that an inner shower, an inner reverence, that one in this way, through the activity of the human being, is able to sink oneself into an Empfindung, a feeling for the cosmos. And the process of meditation, particularly for the doctor, doesn't consist in the fact that he simply broods over thoughts, but Mediterian consists in the fact that one brings some such connections before the soul. And in these connections can be able to experience an innerer differentiated feeling upon which one can experience all possible kinds of innerer Erschütterungen, inner moving emotions. Just see, I look upon a human being. Perhaps I haven't seen him since 40 years. Insofar as he appears in his form in front of me, he stands before me, there it stands before my soul, the gaze upon his childhood. I see him as a child before me, and that gives me a certain innerer Erschütterung. Now I turn my glance at the root of the plant, and insofar as I gaze at the root of the plant, I receive the capacity of relating this plant rootness to the human head, and the human head leads me back to the ancient Saturn period, into the whole soul element of the human being. The meditation must go. It must stimulate a deep inward life. Now all these things are intended to create a direction. How after we have created the fundamental basis through a kind of exoteric course, Then we can proceed in an esoteric way to get a sort of feeling type of experience of the whole quest, of the whole cosmos in connection, in relationship to the whole human being. Just as the Saturn existence can rise up in you through the observation of the connection of the human head with the root aspect of the plant, so can the sun existence rise up through a consideration of the connection of the human heart with the stem and leaf development of the plant. And again, the stem and the leaf development of the plant is a living become memory of the ancient sun existence. And if we arrive at the blossom in which the seed is produced with the whole, with the plant, then we come to a connection with the human metabolic system, the limb system. And when you have this particular connection, which occurs in the blossom with the human metabolic limb system, there appears to you something which is a memory of the ancient moon period. And when, if you experience all this inner feeling experience, my dear friends, when in very deep meditation you perceive these connections, then you're able to experience still something more. Then there appears in your soul something quite significant. Then, insofar as with this depths of feeling which has been experienced in your soul, you turn to the root of the plant, then you can begin to feel as if there was no longer a plant root standing there. It doesn't stand still. Every root of the plant receives, as far as you're concerned, you get in connection with the plant. It's if there's a motion, something moves, and you learn to know this motion. I can merely just sketch this thing for you, Skizirian. I can this time only point to one impulse upon the way which must be built up the inner experience in order that the development of nature knowledge can become a wisdom. You will be able to experience this movement attached to the root of the plant. You can feel as if you, together with the root of the plant, are going through passing or going through the cosmic space. You travel through the cosmic space. It's as if you have experienced something, as if you've entered into a coach, and with the coach you go together with the cosmos. And you participate with the experience of the velocity, the Geschwindigkeit, of the velocity of the root of the plant. You'll make the experience that you experience the motion of our whole planetary system through the cosmic space. In the root of the plant, you experience the movement of our whole planetary system through the cosmic space. And then, when in your experience, you can go along the growth of the leaves, you can then experience a participating motion, and that is the true motion of the inwardly experienced motion of the earth. And so we have, in the first place, movement of the planetary system. You get that equivalent to the root. Then you have earth movement. That's the movement of that which is the union of the connection or the uniting of the stem and leaf. Now, everything which the Copernican system teaches about the umbre of the rotation of the Earth round the Sun, all that is just purely constructions. The true Earth movement one perceives when you deepen yourself in the way in which the stem and the leaves are united together. With the stem and the leaf, you nachbewegt, you imitate the movement of, with the earth, of the sun. Difficulty in translating this. Mit Stamm und Blatt bewegt ihr euch mit der Erde der Sonne nach. I believe this means that with the stem and the leaf, you move yourself with the earth after the sun, so that the earth so looks, appears, as it is described in the Copernican system. However, it is in reality a much more complicated movement. So if you focus your glance upon that which in the blossom occurs, where the round the pollen container and the pistil, when you participate with that experience, mitterlebt, participate experience, then you experience that moon movement which the moon carries out around the earth, with that in which there plays its occurs in the blossom, a participating experience of the moon movement, which is already separated from the earth. Explains it much more clearly in the diagram. There you see a plant depicted, and when you look at the pistil and pollen container, you have the movement of the earth and on the movement of the moon. And when you look at the way the leaves come out of the stem as they proceed up the stem, you get a sort of a spiral earth movement. Now when you participate in the experience of the motion of the root, then you can get the whole movement of the planetary system, including the earth. The root, you have the movement of the planetary system. And then as far as the leaf, the stem and leaves, you have the earth movement. And then you have the moon movement, that which already, the moon is already separated, just as you have the production of the seed in the plant. I'm mentioning all these things to you, my dear friends, for the reason that you first learn to see into the fact. Something, facts which today are not at all considered by the usual science, because people don't consider these things worthwhile as far as knowledge is concerned. But these are actually essential. You must know these things. Otherwise, you know nothing at all. And I'm mentioning these to you for another reason. I do not believe that the way one normally learns about the plant can really move you, become indifferent to you. You take up something which is just equivalent to you, indifferent. When, however, in the course of a second medical course, which you are able to experience, when in connection with the plants, at the same time, you can experience the planetary movements, the earth movements, the moon movements, then it will no longer be so indifferent to you. And as far as the what you can experience in the mineral, that will present itself out in a different way. Indeed, my dear friends, we stand today in front of the necessity to carry into such things our cognitive work, and the heart itself feels that this is the path upon which knowledge should be acquired. But in the normal state of the situation, that which is offered to the heart is something merely intellectual. It contains nothing of reality. You believe you've got the total reality, but all you've got hold of is just a small portion of it. What does modern science do? It's just as if a person travels to Dresden, observes and sees the Sistine Madonna, and a natural scientist goes up to him and says, "Ah, what sort of impression is the Sistine Madonna?" As an external impression, you take the Madonna out of the picture and break it into small parts. He's got a heap of small parts which become smaller and smaller until he gets the whole atomic structure. Then he'd say, "Ah, now you have the real knowledge of the Madonna." You very well know very well that if you want to get a real knowledge of the Madonna, you have to learn what religion tells you. And then you can really appreciate what the spirituality is involved and everything else that's connected with the Madonna. Be able to place yourself within the intention of the gods who stand behind physical creation. All these things should be brought to the human being as a second course. And only through that it would be possible to bring reality to human beings, to men. Now you can understand what has happened, what is related to the two meditative Fezenkongong, singing in the way in which I spoke yesterday, to awaken in us the medicinal cognitive force. And the meditations can proceed in such a way that in the first place you sink yourself in the external phenomena of fire, phenomena of the warming fire, that you very clearly, with inward earnestness, experience the fact that this external phenomena of the fire is an external maya, a shine, and illusion. Behind the fire, there appears something quite different. Behind the fire, there steks working will, wirkender Wille. Now perhaps you might ask, how can I realize that behind the fire there steks wirkender Wille? Now it is always so that in esoteric teachings or Schulrichtung, in esoteric instructions, and in that which proceeds out of these instructions, it was always made appeal to the student himself. If you take in simply what I've said today to you, if you allow it to go into your gemüt, so there will rise up inwardly, just as it rises up inwardly when you see in front of you the form of a human being, when you there realize that in front of you there stands spirit and soul, so there will arise in you when you confront fire, in the same way that behind fire there stands a working will. Doesn't matter where you find this fire, in the smallest match, there is working will. Von vorn herein, from the front inwards, is always, is überall. Everywhere where there's fire, there's working will. And you must develop the thing so in more in such a way that you are able to penetrate into the nature of other substances. So that a burning piece of wood is not such an external phenomenon as is usually taken to be, but it becomes a working will to you. And if in this way you're able to transform your gemüt, really transform it, then you will find that your soul will be able to learn to perceive differently, to approach differently things that are in your environment. You will feel yourself actually united with the working will which is in fire. You'll experience yourself out of yourself into the world, and you're able to experience fire in a much more sensitive way than previously, because you have been able to experience the relationship of your own will. Wherever fire appears, you perceive this relationship. You must learn, I indeed am within this fire. Then, since that is working will, and it belongs to me just as my finger belongs to me, then you'll be able to experience the atmosphere as just as you experience it as mute, courage. Everywhere where wind appears, weaving wind in nature, you're able to experience it in your own soul as courage. Everything which you see in the external nature as Luft, as the air, that is Mut, courage. Mut is Luft, courage is air. That you should participate, mit experience, participating experience. Water, that's the external phenomena of Empfindung, sensation, perception. Wherever Empfindung appears, inwardly, you get the same sort of activity wherever externally water appears. Water is Empfindung, sensation, perception. And wherever the earth is, solid earth, the solid is the same as thought. In thought, erfriert das Leben. Erfriert is a freezing over. In thought, there's a freezing over of life. If you're able to really meditatively grasp these four thoughts, if you're able to learn, fire is wirkende Wille, if you're able to take the external phenomenon of fire as wirkenden Willen, if you could confront fire in such a way that you can see within it a working will, just as you see in a human form, soul and spirit. If you could just perceive that the external form of fire is Maya, if you are able to experience in the weaving wind, in the clouds, that they are phenomena which reveal courage, if you're able to so confront water that everywhere in the world you get an appearing of Empfindung, sensation, perception, if you're able to so confront the earth that you everywhere in the earth see something which is similar to your thoughts, then you'll be able to find the path also in yourself, to cognize in yourself, you yourself, you're able to cognize that which we have been able to speak in the 8 days. No, that which we shall be able to speak in the 8 days, I presume means the 8 lectures, that the organic process which appears in you as earth formation, which proceeds out from the head and stretches down towards the blood, towards the below, that this organic process is a continuous earth formation, the uniting of a substantiality of the earth formation, which is heavy, and that this is the nature of thought. If you pass over to that which is the essential nature of Atmung, breathing, if you feel how in the Atmung, the breathing, the aeriform of the human being streams into the circulation, then you will be able to cognize in the aeriform, in the action of the aeriform in the human being, that in the activity of the human being which leads the human being into the external world in order in the outer world sich geltend zu machen. You be able to you're exercising your influence in the outside world, and you'll be able to learn out of the many phenomena of nature that which actually proceeds with the air within the human being himself. You'll be able to know how everything which occurs in the watery element, what the watery organism of the human being, the liquid organism of the human being, is connected with his inner movements. It is that within which the Empfindung lives, the sensation lives. That Empfindung which proceeds in a centripetal manner. I don't know what that means. The perception which proceeds in a centripetal manner. I believe he explains it now. He says, that which is the movement of the air, you will be able to recognize if you, so to say, have half a circular motion, from above towards the below. You will know that which lives in the liquid as centripetal and centrifugal movement in the human being, that which lives in the liquid steckt, inserts itself as centripetal and centrifugal movement in the human being and attempts everywhere to hold the equilibrium. You'll be able to learn out of the observation of that which occurs, which nature does outside, you're able to have the transition from what occurs with these elements in the human being. But the fundamental condition is that we do not remain standing by the usual observation, because every usual observation makes ourselves to earth. It dries us up, makes us solid, and we lose the mobility. There's much in what I've just attempted to sketch to you, but everywhere I've omitted the Zwischenglieder, I've omitted intermediate members, because I can't give you all the single details. That's going to last too long. All I can give you are just stimulations. Be able to take out of everything that the whole way of carrying out the study must become something different. You must see in that which I am giving you, you can see in you something which can become fruitful. All the questions you've asked me, questions which have come from you out of a heavy heart, you will see that you'll get the answer to these questions if you're able to remain in a continuous connection and relationship with the Gertianum. This will be able to give you a fructification of your medical studies. And all that is necessary to have the feeling of an earnest striving. You must have the real feeling that out of Dornach in the near future there will be a fructification of medical study. So the study of medicine should proceed along the path which it should be, it should go. Then, on the one side, will stand the question of karma, because it's self-understood that everyone who wants to heal has to have an intimate relationship with the karma in the world. And of that, I'll have to speak far more in the next lectures. You cannot heal against karma. You must only be able to heal in the sense of karma. But karma cannot be so trivially considered to say, oh, if a person is ill, then he should remain ill. That is his karma. And if he again becomes healthy, then karma gives him the healthiness. You mustn't judge that way. How karma really works in life, this can only be answered with a very grounded cosmic deepening. And these things will also be looked after from things that come out of Dornach. Really said that you need the real esoteric sources to give the impulse is in the future. And that's why these things are connected with the foundation meeting, in the foundation of the General Anthroposophical Society. And that's why, as I mentioned yesterday, I haven't much anxiety because people outside might attempt to imitate the medicaments. Because here we have an esoteric grounding. In the course of the year, we have established the domains of eurythmy and die Redekunst, the art of speech. Similar sort of things must occur in all the sections. In connection with the medicine field, we're working in combination with Frau Dr. Wegmann. And only those who are able to attach themselves in loyalty to Frau Dr. Wegmann will be able to find the way from Dornach. So all those who want to accompany the revivification of medicine will have to have, without doubt, a vertrauen, a trust in Dr. Wegmann, who's working with me. In month to month, we'll send out letters to answer the questions at the end of this course. Questions which single people ask. But you have to have an inner vertrauen, inner trust. Otherwise, we can't get a real relationship. The great mistake which so far has occurred in esoteric life is this one, that people in a very excessive presumptuous way have always wanted to get from me their esoteric exercises. Everybody wants to do it with me, but not with other people. And so far, there's been a failure of the esoteric aspect. The way this thing's going to be conducted has to be done by those people who have been determined by destiny. And people rejected that. Now, I don't know, is Rudolf Steiner referring to the fact that many people wanted to get everything from Rudolf Steiner and wouldn't have a relationship with Dr. Wegmann? And he's trying to say, well, don't get it all from me. I've appointed Dr. Wegmann by karma. Maybe it's something like that. You have to know more about the details, personal details involved here. He seems to emphasize time and time again, trust to Dr. Vagman, assuming people haven't trusted her. Rusanda continues and says that I've just merely sketched everything, but tomorrow I will continue this esoteric consideration, and then I will answer the great part of the questions which have been placed to me, and which always have peaked to the point, the question, how can I find a training which proceeds from Dornach? And he answers, you can find it, but you must have Vertrauen, trust. Because that's not a belief in authority, but a building upon a solid ground, a ground determined by destiny. And then he says, well, that's enough for today. And he ends the lecture. And at the end of the lecture it says, fire, working will, air, courage, water, sensation, perception, earth, thought.